NATO says it's reviewing all ties with Russia.
The accident scene tells the story. There it is.
Chinese ambassador tweeting.
Overnight, it was a joyride.
Ukraine has seen a lot of changes in a short amount of
time. What should I listen?
Confused about different news sources? Radio CUC English Weekly Focus will bring you selected and organized news from home and abroad, only on every Monday.
Good evening, welcome to Weekly Focus with news around China and the world. I'm Yue Yunfan.
And I'm Wen Yu. Today is Monday, the 12th week of this term.
Coming up, the fluorescent night round of CUC was successfully held.
We decided to organize this event, which allowed college students to have a chance to put themselves in outdoor sports events.
A 7.3 magnitude earthquake hit Sichuan province on November the 22nd.
We have rearranged the medical resources to free up around 40 beds for future patients. All patients will be treated as they come to try to expedite their medical care.
Obama announces and defines his immigration reform.
First, we'll build on our progress at the border with additional resources for our law enforcement personnel so that they can stem the flow of illegal crossings and speed the return of those who do cross over.
And comment on a student who dropped out of Peking University to study in a vocational school.
A student, Zhou Hao, dropped out of Peking University to study in a vocational school and said he was fortunate to make the choice.
And this is Weekly Focus. Good evening, welcome to Weekly Review.
First of all, let's check the campus news.
On November 21st, the fluorescent night round organized by the school students' union, and which was regarded as the second short of Activity 3, was successfully held in our school's campus and attracting many students. Our correspondent Guo Rui was there.
I'm now at the Confucius Square, and many runners have been here already, signing up and getting their equipment. I'll now ask the runner just stand beside me and listen what he thinks about this. Is this your first run in campus?
No, I always run by myself in the campus.
And how long have you been running?
Well, I guess for like about 2 years.
So why do you join this fluorescent night run?
Since I'm a member of the sports department and of our student union, which is who actually organized this event, I think it might be pretty good to actually participate in it myself.
Well, you know, I'm just wondering, why do you decide to organize a fluorescent night run rather than a normal run?
First, since our school playground is still under construction, and so students don't have much of a chance to do the outdoor activities. And second, it's to meet the Activity 3. And so we decided to organize this event, which allows college students to have a chance to put themselves in an outdoor sports event without using the playground.
And that's all the information I've got. Back to you, studio.
Thank you, Guo Rui. Our university actually is not good at physical education, and many students are complaining about their shapes and builds are not perfect. But I think if we have more activities like this, there will be no more complaints.
From November the 20th to November the 24th, the first Asian University Film Festival was held in our school. This festival was undertaken by School of Television and Film Art. Several films of different types were presented. Our correspondent Yue Yunfan was there.
There were six films presented tonight. What's the commonality of these films, and how does the judge consider about university films?
The commonality of these six movies presented tonight is that they are all close to the reality. They are following a trend in which it depicts our lives. Movies and reflections and windows. Not only should they reveal some kind of reality not common or not follow the inherent routine, but also should come back to our lives.
Some of the film directors have made tremendous efforts to their own works. What do they want to express? What difficulties have they confronted? And in their eyes, what's the meaning of the film festival?
We want to show the influence of birth control in the rural area of China, because this is not common in the big cities, but there are still some people who prefer boys to girls in the country. The biggest difficulty we met was that none of us has been living in the country, so we didn't have so much experience of this kind of thing.
I made a film about Carvel's lesbian love story between a female teacher and her student. The story happened in a high school inland virtually. When I read it, I feel touched and moved. So I decided to divert it to a film. And another reason is, as students, we should pay attention to things related to our lives, but not those profound topics with which we are not familiar with. There are these kind of things happening in my life, so I want to depict them. I think maybe to provide a platform to let us compare and communicate students' films made from different countries.
That's all the information I've got back to you, studio.
Movie is a good way to think, record, and express, especially films made by university students. They can present their views of observing the society, so please welcome to pay more attention to these films of your fellows.
Okay, let's look at the domestic news. A 6.3 magnitude earthquake hit Kaohsiung County in southwest China's Sichuan province on November 22nd. At 4:55 p.m. on November 22nd, a 6.3 magnitude earthquake hit Kaohsiung County in southwest China's Sichuan province. The death toll has risen to 4 as of 11:30 a.m. Sunday. More than 79,500 people were affected, and 25,000 houses were damaged. About 6,200 people were relocated.
The epicenter is a known fault zone where earthquakes happen frequently. As such, a lot of attention has gone into home construction. At first glance, most homes appear to be built with stone, but in fact, most are quake-proof wooden structures.
We have rearranged the medical resources to free up around 40 beds for future patients. All patients will be treated as they come to try to expedite their medical care.
The Sichuan Provincial Earthquake Administration launched the Grade 1 Emergency Response, which is the highest one. The administration dispatched working team to Kaohsiung, which sits in a narrow valley with a river flowing through. The Provincial Civil Affairs Department has also sent 600 tents, 1,000 quilts, and 1,000 cotton-padded coats. The electricity supply has resumed in Tagong Town, the epicenter, as of 9 a.m.
11 kindergarten children were killed in a crash in East China's Shandong province on November the 19th. Experts are calling for school bus operations to be included in local government budgets after 11 kindergarten children were killed in a crash in East China's Shandong province on November the 19th. The head of the kindergarten and owner of the school bus have been detained as local authorities in the city of Penglai look into the crash. Among the 15 children on the overloaded minibus, only three managed to survive. The bus driver was also killed in the accident.
Local governments should be responsible for providing school buses. They should include school buses into their budget plan, both for public schools and private schools. If the government only focuses on supervising but does not put in money to provide the facilities, some schools can't afford to have a proper school bus and use unqualified minivans as school buses.
Currently, a standard school bus can cost from 20,000 to 50,000 yuan, different from public transportation. School buses only run during weekdays and school days, adding a huge sum to maintenance fee. In countries such as the United States and Canada, each school district will arrange school buses and hire bus drivers for the whole district. To lower the cost, in Canada, each student may have to pay $1 Canadian per day for the bus service. This is a rational plan. In the wake of the accident, authorities in other provinces across the country have started a new round of inspections on school buses.
Okay, let's look at international news. U.S. President Barack Obama has announced a series of executive actions to avoid the deportation of millions of illegal immigrants in the country. In making the announcement, Obama contends his move is not an amnesty. In a nationally televised address from the White House, U.S. President Barack Obama is promising to ease the threat of deportation for about 5 million illegal immigrants by bypassing Congress and bringing the changes through his powers as the chief executive.
First, will build on our progress at the border with additional resources for our law enforcement personnel so that they can stem the flow of illegal crossings and speed the return of those who do cross over. Second, I'll make it easier and faster for high-skilled immigrants, graduates, and entrepreneurs to stay and contribute to our economy, as so many business leaders have proposed. Third, we'll take steps to deal responsibly with the millions of undocumented immigrants who already live in our country.
The president has announced a three-part plan to change what he calls the nation's broken immigration system. The announcement is likely to become the first major showdown between Obama and Congress since the Republicans took control of both the House and Senate in the midterm elections. Republican lawmakers have already threatened to shut down the government in response to the move, something Obama says would be counterproductive.
Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe has dissolved the lower house of the Japanese parliament, paving the way for a snap election next month. The resolution signed by the cabinet will be submitted to the Japanese emperor for approval. The move follows the Prime Minister's decision this week to postpone the planned increase in the sales tax after figures released earlier this week showed the economy has slipped into recession. The snap election is expected to be held on December the 14th.
Based on the falling support rate of Abe's cabinet and party over the past 2 years, the LDP could lose over 10 seats. This may change the absolute advantage of the ruling party and provide an opportunity to the opposition, especially the Democratic Party, to regain some seats. It could enable the opposition parties to unite.
The latest figure shows that growth in the world's third largest economy shrank at an annualized rate of 1.6% in the June-September period, the second straight quarter of decline. Japan's economy is now in a technical recession, and Abe has vowed to revive the country's economy with a mix of hyper-easy monetary policy, expanding public utilities while stimulating investment.
Okay, let's move on to the weekly news minutes. Last week, the Florence's Run was held in Future Square. School fellows actively joined in this event. Before running, Fox watched a fantastic flash mob presented by DE Dancing Club. After a short warm-up, the Florence's Run began. Students wore full Florence's decorations and really enjoyed this activity.
Chiyue Festival is around the corner. This is a huge event for students in broadcasting and anchoring school. Chiyue Festival is a top-level competition in China's acclaimed field. The students in broadcasting and anchoring school will be participating in this festival as competitor and staff.
In its latest effort to tackle air pollution, Beijing plans to channel wind through streets to blow away the dirty air. The six wind corridors proposed would allow air from the suburbs to blow through the urban center and, hopefully, remove the air pollutants. The institute is studying the viability of building wind passages and will publish the result for the end of this year. To disperse polluted air, the institute also proposed to control the height and density of buildings.
In a long-awaited reform, four Chinese provincial regions have removed the rural-urban distinctions in Hukou, making things fair for residents. The four regions are Henan, Hubei and Heilongjiang province and Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region. Rural citizens will no longer have limited access to social welfare in cities and are restricted from receiving public service such as education, medical care, housing and employment.
Forbes magazine announced its annual list of the world's richest people on Monday, which included a record number of women. Walmart stores in Kira's Kristen Walton was the highest-ranking woman in 9th place at $36.7 billion, Forbes said in announcing the list. France Lillian Bennecourt, who got much of her wealth from Comestic Comedy, The Oreo Essay, was next among women at $34.5 billion and ranked 11th overall.
More than 2,500 U.S. military personnel are in West Africa as part of Operation United Assistance, helping battle Ebola outbreak by providing logistical support and training for healthcare workers, as well as testing flu samples and building emergency treatment units.
Okay, that is the end of weekly review. The next will be sports and entertainment news.
So nice to meet you again. Let's go through some fresh sport news. In boxing, China's Zhou Zhiming is really preparing for his 6th fight since he turned pro. This morning, he held an open training session ahead of his match against Thailand's boxer in the 12th round WBO flyweight category.
Zhou had a busy schedule in Macau, as his popularity continues to grow in China after he turned professional. And after some commercial activities, he had his first training session early in the morning to get better used to the actual fight Sunday, which will also take place in the morning. And his afternoon training session followed Manny Pacquiao's, whose headlining bout against Chris Algieri will be right after Zhou's. The Chinese will be facing Wong Sung Chai Jim, who looks similar to Pacquiao, and has excellent results, with 27 professional victories and 12 KOs. And many predict a tough battle for the two-time Olympic gold medalist.
Formula One driver Jules Bianchi is showing signs of recovery following a life-threatening crash at the Japanese Grand Prix last month. The driver is said to be breathing on his own and is no longer in an artificial coma. He has also been sent to a hospital in his native France.
The Borussia driver suffered severe head injuries in a horrific accident at the Japanese Grand Prix October 5th, hitting a mobile crane that was inside the trackside barriers. After 7 weeks in hospital, Bianchi arrived back in France Wednesday. However, his condition is still said to be critical. The 25-year-old was part of Ferrari's Young Drivers program and was touted as one of the stars of the future.
Melvin Marlins have officially announced the signing of slugger Gianluigi Sutton to baseball's most lucrative deal. The right fielder has signed a contract for 13 years and $325 million. The signing is the longest in MLB history and also the richest ever in North American sports.
Stanton, who turned 25 on November 8th, is one of the game's most feared hitters. His season, though, ended September 11th when he was hit in the face by a pitch. Despite missing the final 17 games, he led the National League with 37 homers and a .555 slugging percentage for the Marlins. Stanton said that the insurances of a new winning culture in Miami was the reason he signed.
In terms of entrusting our scheme of things and our plan to win, that was my main focus in the meeting. I didn't want to talk about dollars and money. I want to talk about what's our plan. What are we going to do moving forward, and how are we going to change this makeup in Miami? I mean, everyone wants to talk about the record-breaking deal and all that. That's for you guys to talk about. I want to have records on the field and do things on the field, and that's what this is about. That's what making a push in Miami is about for me.
Five mascots from previous editions of the Olympics and Paralympic Games have arrived in Rio in Brazil. The mascots include Lily, which is the mascot for the Paralympic Games in Beijing in 2008. The others include the mascots Fun Lok and Mandeville from London 2012 Olympics, Athena from Athens in 2004, and Misha, the bear dating back to the Moscow Olympics in 1980. The Rio 2016 Organizing Committee is planning to unveil its own mascots on Monday. Some of the world's top football players, including Real Madrid's Cristiano Ronaldo and Barcelona's Neymar Jr., announced they are joining the UN to help raise global awareness in the fight against Ebola. The World Bank launched a new campaign earlier in the day called 11 Against Ebola with football players from some of Europe's biggest clubs. These top football players would share 11 simple health messages selected with the help of doctors and health experts using the slogan, "Together we can beat Ebola," aiming at promoting preventative measures targeting communities affected by the Ebola virus. Each message is amplified through animated films, radio contacts, banners, posters, and photographers of the players. That's all for sport. Let's move on to the entertainment.
Welcome to the weekly entertainment. Stick to the channel and I'll bring you a terrific show tonight. Good news! Chinese shoppers can now participate in a celebrated American shopping festival, Black Friday. It's said that a group of high-end retailers in the United States have teamed up with Alipay, which will enable online shoppers in China to purchase goods through Alipay's ePOS. I don't know if this means there will be a regular online store every Friday. Smoke is back here. Beijing issued a smoke alert on November 19, 2014. This after the conclusion of the APEC summit. It seems like our crisp air is prepared only for those foreign politicians. How unfair! This bomb that landed on the comet is not recording noises. Scientists say it sounds like the comet is singing. Even more amazing, the song is about the bats. It's really stupid, uh-huh? Well, they also say that European space probe has detected organic matter. This means there could be either life in space or grocery store, who knows. Charles Manson is on the news. He has applied for a license to marry his 26-year-old girlfriend. Must be tough for some single women, right? First Clooney, then Cumberbatch, and now Manson. All the good ones are taken. The singer Usher is in the news. That's true. He has announced that his next single will be available in boxes of Honey Naturals. It means that to get his record, you have to get the cereal and pour it out. And there's a good chance that you accidentally eat it. I have no idea if you guys know that Hitler was also a painter, and one of his paintings is now for sale. That's true. One of his watercolor paintings is being auctioned off, and is expected to sell for over $60,000. So it seems that despite of being an abnormal badass, he also has some normal. Developers are working on a new app that will give you a 10-second warning before an earthquake. I think this app must be called Too Late. Who thinks so? You know, 2 seconds really means nothing.
Recently, the story of a student who dropped out of Peking University to study in a vocational school has drawn public attention. The student said he was fortunate to make the choice and had no regret. Our commentator Feng Guorui and Deng Tianyue will comment on this issue.
Dear audiences, welcome to Weekly Commentary. I'm Feng Guorui.
And I'm Deng Tianyue.
Hey Tianyue, what do you want to be after you graduate?
Oh well, I dream to be an English broadcaster. After all, this is why I'm here.
And what if you dream to be something else? I know you like baking, and what if you choose to go to a pastry school rather than university?
Oh well, I think, first of all, my parents probably would not be satisfied with my choice. I mean, I have spent 18 years climbing the mountain of academic education, and they are not that generous to let me abandon what I've learned and go to a vocational school. I'm not saying vocational schools are inferior than universities, but it just seems it's not the optimum choice. At least that's what my parents will think.
You've got the point. Actually, one similar case has happened recently. A student, Zhou Hao, dropped out of Peking University to study in a vocational school and said he was fortunate to make the choice.
Oh, I know the story, and I remember the student's initial plan was to apply to Beijing Institute of Aeronautics. But after he became a top scorer of college entrance exams in Qinghai province, he finally gave way to his father's ardent expectations. But after failing several exams in the first year, he quit Beijing University and began to study numerical control at Beijing Industrial Technical College.
Yes, and his story became a hot topic on society. Many people supported his choice, and many called for more social attention to China's vocational education. What's your opinion about this?
Oh, as is said on the internet, I do think more attention should be paid on vocational schools. Vocational schools are as essential as universities in terms of their role in the society, and there is no shame in studies and careers. I believe Germany has set a good model in this case. For example, in 2001, two-thirds of young people aged under 22 in Germany began an apprenticeship, and 78% of them completed it. That means approximately 51% of all young people under 22 have completed an apprenticeship. One in three companies offered apprenticeships in 2003, and in 2004, the government signed a pledge with industrial unions that all companies except very small ones must take on apprenticeships. Such actions have given vocational school students enough chance to seek for their favorable positions.
I totally agree with you, and I also think the public impression of vocational schools should be changed. Actually, the employment rate of vocational students has been over 90% in recent years. but many vocational schools are still faced with student crisis. As you have said, many parents still put vocational schools at the second place. Plus, I know that even though there are still months to go before a graduation, many companies have already offered jobs to Zhou Hao. Maybe this best proves vocational education can also lead to a promising future.
Well, I agree with you, and all in all, Chinese parents and teachers should learn a lesson from the case and respect students' choice. The happiness young people feel from studying the subjects of their choice is more important than a so-called good job. Youths should get the opportunity to decide their future, but it should be also made clear that they will be responsible for the decisions they make.
And that's all for the weekly commentary. Thanks for listening. I'm commentator Feng Guorui.
And I'm Deng Tianyue. See you next week.
Thank you, Guorui and Tianyue. We'll offer you some living tips at the end of our program.
Winter is becoming colder and colder. Pay attention to keeping warm, especially for freshmen from South. The official arrangement of final has already came out. We can look it up on official accounts of WeChat. Redouble your efforts and don't slacken off. These are the selected news brought to you by Weekly Focus. Thank you for being with us for the past half an hour.
Next week, Weekly Focus will continue to help you review and foresee from Weekly Focus.
Focus on China and the world, only on Weekly Focus. I'm Yu Yunfan, see you.
And I'm Wu Enyu, see you.
Tomorrow, C Countdown will wait for you on FM 89.3. In this week's C Plus, we will look back to the three hosts' high school life, and through their description, maybe you'll find a whole new music world you never noticed during high school. We will recommend some musicians like Drake, Katy Perry, Zed Zeppelin, and so on. So why not listen to this wonderful talk show? See you tomorrow.